Okay, welcome back, everybody. Welcome back. Hey, this is the podcast format. So, hey, I know y'all heard on the show, but now we're on the podcast. So we get to talk a little bit more dirtier, a little bit more grimier. Because hey, we still got one more track to play from Ken Bray. And with that being said, this is Ken Bray all the way from Cleveland,
baby.
Ohio. That's family. He's family. And and right before we went to break, you said you don't even use the word B when referring to women. Or yep. Just B in general. Because, you know, a B could be a guy, too.
Yeah, I can't. I mean, I can't. Even when I think that probably once in my entire life, I might have gotten so pissed off that I called like an ex-girlfriend or something a bitch when I was like mad at her. And that's another one of those instances, another one of those cases where I'm like, I can do better. I don't have to, you know, I can communicate, I can be mad, I can be angry, whatever, however you want to refer to it, but I don't have to go there, you know. You know, to be at a club and a song come on where, you know, as much as I love that new Kanye song, I was mad that I liked that song. You know what I'm saying? I wanted to kick my own ass for liking that song. Okay, I'm gonna be real with you. I did like the song, but I'm still mad because he's singing the song. They're playing the song in a club, and women are singing it to him. I mean, singing along with it. You know what I'm saying? And so, even though I like that song, I'm like, we can do better. We can do better. Let's not brainwash our women. Let's not brainwash each other into singing songs that are actually so ingrained and okay in your head that you're calling yourself this derogatory name and liking it and enjoying it. You know what I'm saying? We don't have to do that.
And that's funny. Yeah, that's funny that you said, like especially with the N-word, you know, I have a lot of white friends, well, quite a few.
Yeah,
a
plus
few.
You
gotta
have plus few. It's always stressful, man. You around your white friends, and they like, well, can I say it? I mean, can I not say
no,
it?
No, like I said, and I was told, this is what I default down, this is what I default back to. I said, how many times have you heard Eminem say it?
Right.
You've never heard him say it, so that means you can't say it.
Now, right, and Eminem, and that's what I'm saying, he has... And if anybody
could get the pass, it would be M.
Exactly. If anybody in the game gets the pass, it's absolutely Eminem. I don't think anybody would complain if M dropped it. But M said, no, I ain't gonna say that.
I ain't gonna say it.
Right. So why does it take the white guy, right, in the game? Why does it take him to take a stand and be like, no, I'm not gonna say that word? Right? Why can't one of us say, and M, Lord knows the shit that M talks about in his song, nobody's gonna ever accuse him of being a clean rapper.
No. Right? He talks about his old mama.
Exactly.
You know.
I mean, so he say some foul shit, right? But he draws the line and says, I will say literally anything. I'll talk about raping babies, all the kind of crazy shit he talked about, but I will not say that word.
Yeah.
And that's respect. Right?
That's respect.
And so, you know, and that's what I'm saying. That's who I have the most respect for and take the most influence from are artists, entertainers that will take the unpopular stand and stick by it and say, you know, fuck what y'all think. I'm not ever saying that word, you know. Fuck what y'all think. I'm like Will Smith. Fuck what y'all think. I ain't never cussing in the song. I'll cuss in my movies. So y'all know that I cuss. But I take a stand on my music. I'm not gonna cuss my music. And I respect that. You know what I'm saying? And so with me, it's just simple. It's like, nah, I'm not gonna call, you know, Lord knows my songs are misogynistic, so but
it's so good.
I ain't nobody accusing me of not not liking the female anatomy. but at the same time, I don't have to call them names, you know. And, you know, whether it's Sweet Ivory, whether it's, you know, any other character or you know, subject matter of one of my songs, as twisted as it may sound or seem, I still respect them, you know? So part of that respect comes from, I mean, part of respect is that, well, I'm not going to use, you know, I'm not going to refer to you in this way. You know, whatever we did, you know, we both grown folks. So, you know, whatever we did, you know, whatever our interaction, the you know, nature of our relationship with each other, it is what it is. We're both consenting adults, but I still respect you. So I'm not going to call you a bitch. I'm not going to call you a hoe. I'm not going to call you a thot. You know, I'm not going to do that.
I know.
It's behind, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I'm with you, Ken, because, you know, I know me and my ex, we went through with my ex. She called me every fat name and every hell boy there is. Now, you know, the only thing I can say, you know, I still think you're retarded, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it is what it is. I mean, and plus I got to get these women to be in my videos, man. I can't be... You ain't going to be in my damn video if I'm calling you, hey, bitch, want me in my video?
But the sad thing is something like okay.
If I said that to you and you said, okay, I don't want you in my video. I want somebody that's got a brain in my video.
So with that being said, like I said, hey, this is Side Hustle Radio. This is the overtime show here on the podcast. With that being said, Ken, like I said, your album is dropping this coming May.
Absolutely.
Why May?
I wanted to hit it for spring, to be honest. You know, I'm starting to ramp up promotion. You know, I got a couple videos that are in the can. I mean, that are in the works right now. You know, to help push it. I'm picking up, gathering new followers on Instagram. And we're just, you know, gradually, you know, ramping up the promotion so that when the weather starts to finally break and we starting to, you know, the skirts are getting shorter and we said we're wearing white again, we might have a song or something out there to listen to that, that's got my name attached to it. And we'll ride it hopefully through the summer. We'll get that album out there, you know, get some things moving through it, through iTunes and all those other outlets. It's going to be right now the intention is to be a digital only release because I'm very ingrained in technology. You know, I'm not the old dude that's, you know, anti-tech, you know, anything. I'm totally not that guy, you know, and I think that it's possible to release a record, promote a record, and sell a record, you know, without there actually being a physical record. But yeah, it's May. Right at the beginning of the summer, and we want to see what goes from there. Things go well. We talk about riding around and doing some stuff in person and screaming at a mic and slapping some females that I'm not calling hoes or bitches.
Okay. Well, and I hate to do this. I hate to play this advocate real quick, Ken. And he's like, right. Well, then hell, shut up. Don't ask me the question. With all the craziness going down with this Me Too movement.
With
the Me Too movement. With the R. Kelly's, okay. The Bill Cosby's, the Weinstein. Don't you... Is that a little scary? Be call yourself Dirty Grandpa?
No, I don't think so. Because, again, the... The mentality or the mindset or the motivation behind it is not there. And if you listen to the music, I mean, I'm sure many artists who've been subject to controversy have said the same thing, but I'm saying it. I mean, if you listen to the songs, then you actually know that that's not what this is. That, you know, the Sweet Ivory song it's about, you know, an Instagram crush, you know, sliding up in the DMs or whatever. But the song written, she approached me. So, and there was nothing, you know, there's nothing in my songs that are implying that I'm manipulating anybody or implying that, you know, that the people, the women that I get involved with or whatever aren't consenting. And I think that's the problem that, you know, this whole Me Too thing, or the R. Kelly thing is that, you know, those were underage women. Those are, you know, As far as the specific acts that he did, you know, that's whatever. That's his lifestyle. I ain't gonna judge man on his lifestyle. But the problem was that these are just minors. And, you know, the stuff that I do, the stuff that I talk about, I'm not so worried about that. I mean, we'll see when it gets out there. But right now, you know, I've been promoing the title for a few months now, and I haven't got any negative feedback on it. I mean, people giggle when I tell them that's the name of the album.
I like the name. I like the name. I think it's hot. I just think it's hot. So I'm just looking at the size of the coin. So
yeah, well, I feel you. I mean, there's. I mean, it just. But at the same time, man, that's one of those things we just got to kind of, you know, take a walk on faith and just do it, because, you know, the night that I premiered my the Sincerely Me video, I did a online watch party for the premiere of Sincerely Me. That Tuesday that I premiered it, Justin Timberlake had a concert in Cleveland. That precise moment, that my premiere was at 7:30 and his concert was at 7:30. And Lil Wayne dropped the Carter 5 like the day before or something like. No, it was the week before. And so I was like, you know, I was pissed. I'm like, well, shit. I mean, Lil Wayne ain't did an album in 50 years. He just had to drop the shit a week before I dropped my little single. So forget any kind of attention I'm going to get on mine, because Lil Wayne dropped his shit right when I'm trying to do mine. And then I'm like, okay, I'm trying to get over that. And then I'm like, wait, Justin Timberlake's in Cleveland? When is he? The exact moment of my premiere.
Well, I think it was the white Justin, not the black Justin. I think he's the white Justin. I think he was cool. He was okay.
It then. Didn't matter. At the end of the day, it didn't matter. And that's the point I was getting at, is that, dude, you know, I made this decision, you know, 3-4 months ago. And so now the decision's made, and it's going to happen. And if I want to say any publicity is good publicity, I hate being the guy to say that, but it's going to happen. I'm not going to change the album title, and because it's been promoted through my Instagram anyway, the sales, the fans of me know me anyway. You know, because that my Instagram is my life, you know, so they know me. And I'm more worried about them asking where my rabbit is on my album than I am about them asking about the title of the album. Did you put your rabbit on the album? Yeah, he's on there somewhere.
He's on there somewhere.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Okay, so, you know, there's two more questions I got, but hey, I want to get to some more of this music here. What's this track we're about to listen to?
Sincerely Me. This is the very first single. It was released back in October. This was the one that actually a friend of mine challenged me to make a song. This was kind of the beginning of me making songs about something. And she challenged me to, you know, to say something important. And Sincerely Me was, you know, I had already been looking for kind of a motivation or a push, you know, to kind of get my feelings out about using the N-word and you know, and demeaning women like that. And so this was kind of the push to, you know, to make this song. And then, of course, we turned around and made a video for it. And, you know, the video still gets, you know, rave reviews. So you guys definitely got to check out the video for this thing. But yeah, Sincerely Me is where I address, you know, those words that I don't use. And it falls somewhere between being spoken word and being rap. But it's definitely me. And it's definitely the vibe that I had that day.
Okay. Hey, this is Ken Bray, and this is Sincerely Me. You'll be right back right after this.
Dear me, it's been quite a while since we had a chat. You went away. We love you, and we need you back. Over time, it seems you may have lost your way, but hopefully there's still a chance, and it's not too late. If this message finds you in time, and you're doing well, if you're reading it, and you're still alive and not in jail, do something worthwhile and positive. Make history. Don't die a mystery. Sincerely, me. Dear me, it's been quite a while since we had a chat. You went away. We love you, and we need you back. Over time, it seems you may have lost your way. But hopefully there's still a chance, and it's not too late. If this message finds you in time, and you're doing well. If you're reading it, and you're still alive, and not in jail. Do something worthwhile and positive. Make history. Don't die a mystery. Sincerely, me. I always considered myself the exception to the rule. That I would never sell my soul to be accepted, to be thought of as cool. But that's exactly what I ended up doing, low-key. I call my people nigga, and nigga's what they call me. Somewhere along the path, I guess I kinda lost my way. Everybody else was saying it, so I thought it would be okay. I even made up rules like, well, I can say it, cause I'm black. I can sing it in a song, but you can't sing it back. I told myself I took control of the word, jokes on me. Cause I call myself a nigga now, they don't need to say it, B. Negro, nigger, nigga, it's all the same. I identify with this word more than I identify with my own name. But I have to remember where that shit came from, though, nowhere nice. These people took me and sold me for a fucking price. They didn't bother to learn my name, instead they gave me this. And I proudly embrace it like it's some kind of gift. But it's not a gift, it's a motherfucking racial slur. Blacks, whites, Hispanics, nobody should use the word. How about instead when we refer to one another? We use a word more appropriate, like, I don't know. Dear me, it's been quite a while since we had a chat. You went away, we love you, and we need you back. Over time, it seems you may have lost your way. But hopefully there's still a chance and it's not too late. If this message finds you in time and you're doing well. If you're reading it and you're still alive and not in jail. Do something worthwhile and positive, make history. Don't die a mystery. Sincerely, me. I'm not exactly sure when or where along the road. My women stopped being women, became bitches and hoes. But I know I have a son, my son has a mother. And even though we're not together anymore, I still love her. Yeah, we had our issues and I did some things that I regret. But it doesn't make her less than human or undeserving of respect. Her name ain't bitch and it sure ain't ho. And even though we may never be friends again, she needs to know that God put her on this earth to be the cradle of life. And I should have been more appreciative of her. She was my wife. Now I can't turn back the hands of time and try to make it right. It's best to wish her well and to have a happy life. But what I take from that is I needed to show some more respect for one of the greatest gifts from God, the fairest sex. And if I'm lucky enough to ever fall in love again, as God is my witness, I'll be a better kid. For the rest of you men out there stunt and trapping, not only are they not thoughts and holes, we're blessed to have them. And if it weren't for my mother, well, there'd be no me. And for the record, there's no holes in my family tree. Dear me, it's been quite a while since we had a chat. You went away, we love you, and we need you back. Over time, it seems you may have lost your way. But hopefully there's still a chance and it's not too late. If this message finds you in time and you're doing well. If you're reading it and you're still alive and not in jail. Do something worthwhile and positive, make history. Don't die a mystery. Sincerely, me. If I could FaceTime my younger self or send a letter, what would I say? Probably that I could do better. I've taken a lot of shortcuts and whatnot over the years. Made a lot of mistakes and cried a lot of tears. I've done a lot of things that I probably shouldn't have did. I said a lot of things that I probably shouldn't have said. Honestly, I'm kind of surprised I'm still alive. But here I am, the real me, just trying to survive. I put a message in a bottle and I let it go. There were some things needed to be said that I needed to know, like, it's never too late to try, and I'm damn near 50. Change starts from within, it's all about me. So before I tell somebody else how to live or what to say, I gotta read this letter, fix Ken Bray. And when I'm perfect, then maybe I can judge you better. But for now, I just keep writing letters to me. Dear me, it's been quite a while since we had a chat. You went away, we love you, and we need you back. Over time, it seems you may have lost your way. But hopefully there's still a chance and it's not too late. If this message finds you in time and you're doing well. If you're reading it and you're still alive and not in jail. Do something worthwhile and positive, make history. Don't die a mystery, sincerely, me. Dear me, it's been quite a while since we had a chat. You went away, we love you and we need you back. Over time, it seems you may have lost your way. But hopefully there's still a chance and it's not too late. If this message finds you in time and you're doing well. If you're reading it and you're still alive and not in jail, do something worthwhile and positive. Make history. Don't die a mystery. Sincerely, me.
That's Ken Bray. And that's Sincerely Me.
Sincerely Me, baby.
And that, Ken, you my brother. That's all I gotta say. You my brother.
Appreciate it.
Now, have you ever done any, like, spoken word, like, in the actual, like, club where, you know, they stand up?
Yeah, I did. When I was first ramping up the promotion for Sincerely Me, I did a couple of open mic nights, and I did that spoken word, and it was received well. But, yeah, I occasionally do spoken word, and I've occasionally done, you know, tracks, rap tracks. I can do any of my songs spoken word style. It's actually fun to do. I could do Sweet Irie spoken word style if I wanted to. I could do that way, and it's an alternative way to promote the record. Because you know, you get in the club where everybody's a musician, everybody's got a rap song coming out, and you go and do a rap song spoken word style, then it gets more attention than if you try to do, you know, your song as a song sometimes. So I can be a chameleon like that.
Okay. So I have two questions, but I have to address this one question here, because I like if you to take a little bit of time to talk about how you was able to survive prostate cancer.
Okay.
Being a prostate cancer survivor.
Okay.
And explain if you could explain what prostate cancer is, because, you know, we black males, let's get real with this.
Okay.
If you say, hey, they didn't check your prostate, the first question that I'm going to ask is, where is it at? And I have to do what?
Okay, well, but there's a couple of things. You know, on the issue of black men's health, okay, you hear it a bunch of times, but I'm going to say it again. It is important to get checked. Early detection is important. It's key to survival, okay? When I was married many moons ago, the guy who I went to high school with was the best man in my wedding. He died from prostate cancer probably about 10 years ago or so now. When I was diagnosed, the way that I found out was because they do it was through a blood test. Okay. There's this misconception that if you say, you know, prostate check or whatever, there's the old finger up the butt fear that, you know, every man has. No, that's not how they do it. They check with your blood. And so I got a physical every year. I get a physical every year. And just in a routine physical, the levels for, you know, that would indicate that there's something going on with my prostate, they were elevated. And that's all that triggered enough for me to get a biopsy and then find out, you know, shortly after the biopsy that I had cancer. But had I not gotten the physical, I wouldn't have known until it was too late, because I had no symptoms. Like, to this day, you know, I was diagnosed 4 years ago now. I was diagnosed 4 years ago. I got the surgery 3 years ago this past December, where I just had my prostate removed. I never had chemo. I never had radiation. But the reason that I got it taken care of that quickly was because of the blood test. Because to this day, I still don't have any symptoms of the cancer. And the only way they found out was that, you know, my PSA levels in my blood were elevated. And so I was very fortunate, but it was important, and it is important that men, black men, need to just get a physical. And if you catch it early enough, then you have a ton of options that you can, you know, that are before you, that you can deal with as far as, you know, taking care of it. And in my case, I caught it early enough that I just had my prostate removed and never had to have any other additional therapies or anything after that. And, you know, my physical health is fine. my sexual health is, well, if you listen to the album, my sexual health is just fine. So I had, you know, there's a couple of side effects that I have of the surgery, but I'm not going to get into them on the air because this is a somewhat family show. Yeah. But But nah, it the early detection really made a difference. And of course, I'm an athlete, so my ability to my recovery, I recovered ridiculously fast from the surgery, and that has a lot to do with the fact that I'm an athlete. When you like the way the surgery goes, they remove the. I don't want to get into the details of what the prostate does and where it is and all that good stuff, but it's in your urinary tract, and so when they remove the prostate, you have two side effects, two main side effects that they worry about when they remove your prostate. One is incompetence or incontinence, rather, where you can't hold your pee, and the other one is what every man in their 30s and above worries about is erectile dysfunction. So those are the two main, those are the two main side effects from prostate surgery. And the average recovery time for incontinence after prostate surgery is something like, I want to say 6 months. Wow. They say basically you get the surgery done. So maybe in 6 months, maybe in a couple years, you'll be able to hold your pee again, right? Wow. I was holding my pee 2 days after. 2 days, bro. Not 6 months, not a year, 2 days.
Wow.
And the other side effect, the average recovery time was a year to 5 years to never. This actually, you will never be able to get it up again. It's a possible side effect of having that surgery. Wow. 2 weeks after, your boy was back in action. 2 weeks. And I was mad about the 2 weeks.
Oh, God. He said so, 2 weeks. I was
I was mad. I'm like, damn, man. It's been 2 days and shit ain't working. What up? Yeah, it took 2 weeks, but a lot of that has to do with the fact that I take care of myself. I'm in decent shape. I'm an athlete, and I got early detection. So like all those things, and I had a tremendous support group, and you know all those things factored in to get me through the shock of being diagnosed. You know, because of course nobody wants to be sitting in a doctor's office and tell you have cancer. Mm. So I went through the shock of that, and then the whole lead up and drama to when I finally got the surgery, and then the recovery time after the surgery, all that would not have gone anywhere near as smoothly as it did had I not had really good doctors, a really good team of doctors, a really strong family and support group, and a really supportive girlfriend at the time. You know, the girl I was with at the time, she was real supportive. And all that together with the fact that I was still competing throughout all of that. I was traveling the whole country competing. Once I got diagnosed, I was still out there, competing and flying all over the country to finish my season. And all that worked out. And then when I finally got the surgery, I was in and out of the hospital in like 2 days and never looked back.
Wow.
Wow. Hey, thank you for sharing that with us. And like I said this, a lot of times, everybody wait till like, was it November, for males to go get their prostate
cancer.
Around November. But the simple fact is this, men go to the doctor and get you a physical at least once a year. That's the bare minimum that you have to do, get a physical. I get my physical every year. And funny, because I went to the doctor last week, and I have to get my blood work done. I get all my blood work. I get all my levels checked. Yeah. And it's important. That you do that, So, and it's just that easy. Just get a, when they take about 4 samples of your blood, and you're done.
Yeah, it's nothing. It's considering the alternative. Yeah, it's nothing. Something like I said, And like I said, I was really fortunate because prostate cancer is deadly. If it goes undetected, it will.
Does it run in your family by any chance?
I found out after the fact that my uncle had it.
Wow.
And but I didn't know. So at the time, you know, when the doctors asked me, I didn't know. I was like, nah, my father doesn't have it, you know, but I didn't know.
Wow.
But I mean, it's common. It's pretty common, period, anyway, though. I mean, a lot of guys have it. And like I said, the problem is guys are notorious for not going to the doctor. So you have it and you don't start going, you don't go to get it looked at maybe until you start to get symptoms. But then by the time you have symptoms, it's probably too late. Because the cancer is probably already spread outside of your prostate and it's gotten into your bladder or it's gotten into your bloodstream or it's gotten into your bones.
Wow.
And then that's where it really gets, you know, that's where it's bad. You know, if it stays in your prostate, you just take out the prostate and it's gone. You know, the cancer goes with the prostate. But if it gets in your bones, if it gets in your blood and makes it up to your lymph, you know, to your lymph nodes or into your bladder, you can't take out your bladder, you can't take out your bones, and you can't take out your blood. So it becomes way more problematic the longer you wait. And that's really the problem. And it spreads really fast. That once it escapes, yeah, it's a wrap.
It's a wrap.
And so, you know, and it's like, you know, that's everybody I talk to about it. I tell them, you know, this isn't something you can tough it out. You know, you have to be on it with your doctors and you gotta, you know, whatever little fear you might have of needles or whatever, you got to suck all that shit up. Cause you know, I got a buddy that thing killed and it is horrible what it does to you. And so, yeah, it's not a joking matter.
Yeah. Again, congratulations for being a survivor, Ken.
Thank you, sir.
I know, like I said, you're on overtime here on the podcast.
Overtime.
So thank you for hanging out with us. Before we let you go, you know, we know your album is dropping in May.
Uh-huh.
Do you have anything else special going on this year besides the album?
Well, my album drops in May and I start med school to become a foot and ankle surgeon in August.
Oh, a surgeon? Oh, Dr. Ken?
Yeah, yeah. Dr. Ken. Don't think that's not gonna be on the album. Come on now.
Dr. Ken. Dr.
Ken. Absolutely, baby. Yeah, I'll be a surgeon.
That's what's up.
Or I'll die trying, one of the two.
Oh, man. Man, I'm so happy for you, bro. Yeah. You family, man. You family. Hey, this is your family. Like I said, we don't play with this. When you say you family, you family. You have your social platform to play your music and to be heard.
Absolutely.
And to be listened to. And I know we asked that right before we left the last show. Do you have anybody that you'd like to shout out again?
Shout out my mama. Shout out my sisters. You know what? Shout out to Marina. And she's over in Austria. She's probably asleep now. But when she wakes up or gets to listen to the podcast, I think she'll get a kick out of me shouting her out. And I'm going to shout out my boy Twinkie running around the house. I don't know if he speak English, but I'm going to shout him out anyway. And I'm going to shout out. Well, I can't say her name. The girl that's playing Ivory in the video, I can't say her real name because that kind of messes up the mystique, but she knows who she is. So I'm going to shout out to her. I'm going to shout out to my girl Shayna, floating around Cleveland somewhere. My girl America out in LA, she might be listening. My girl Chrissy out near Buffalo, she might be listening. I think who else I know out there that. My girl Key down in Atlanta. She's probably listening. Now, y'all put me on the spot. Make sure I'm not missing anybody. My boy CJ, he's on the air right now at a station in Cleveland. Shout him out with his no car having ass. Shout out my boy Monty. He probably at work because he a hard working ass. Shout out the whole crew, Johnny Lumpkin, Smooth Gotti, the whole crew on this movie Life Lessons that I'm in and that I'm working on. I get to play the bad guy in. They out there getting their hustle on. I think that's probably about it. I'm sure as soon as I get off, I'll remember something that I forgot, but I think that probably covers a good amount of people.
Okay. But like I said, Ken Bray, follow him. Absolutely. How can they follow you on your social media pages?
Please go to Mr. Ken Bray on IG. That's MRKENBRAY. And hit the like, hit the follow. Blow me the fuck up. I'm trying to sell some records.
Follow, support, friend him.
Absolutely.
DM him. Hit him in the DM.
Hey, if you slide in my DMs, you might end up in the song.
Really?
Hey, like I said, Ken, we thank you.
Thanks for having me, guys. I appreciate it. Thanks for the love.
Can we bounce out with the Ivory song?
What's that?
Oh, I was telling DJ DePoise to bounce out with the Ivory song.
Oh, okay. That's cool.
With that being said, we got to get up out of here. It's overtime. Thank you, Ken, for hanging out with us. And, you family, bro. You family. You family.
Hey, so whenever you need me back, I'm back, baby. Just let me know.
Oh, anytime you want to come back, you tell us. You tell us.
Well, at least in May, I'm coming back.
Also May? Okay. Oh, it's arranged already, right, bro? Yeah, it's arranged.
Yeah, you good.
You good. May. We be back in May for his album drop. And for that being said, I be Hef.
DJ DEPOSE.
What? Thanks for having me.
Thanks you.
Peace. Be great right team. Back.
Ivory was like, I was like, love. She was like, show me something. We was like, let's go. She was like, I was like, here it is. She was like, we was like, Ivory was like, I was like, love. She was like, show me something. We was like, let's go. She was like, I was like, here it is. She was like, we was like, it all started with a like on my new post. Kind of ghost, she kept it on the low. I peeped her profile, she was the nice one. I hit follow to get a follow back going. I like 7 pics, see if she would take the bait. Hell yeah, she did, she liked 8. Low key, Ivory was a big fan of mine. Before you know it, she blowing up my timeline. She told me that I made her heart feel funny. I said mine too, gambling with house money. We had something in common, yeah, I bet we do. Do you like the way Ken Bray speak to you? Now she telling me that I make her day better. Subtly insinuating that I make her panties wetter. Timeline is hot, girl, don't start no mayhem. Ivory, let's take this to the DM. Ivory was like, I was like, hello. She was like, show me something. We was like, let's go. She was like, what's up? I was like, here it is. She was like, splash. We was like, Ivory was like, I was like, hello. She was like, show me something. We was like, let's go. She was like, what's up? I was like, here it is. She was like, splash. We was like, in the DM, things started off innocent. I told her she was teasing me. She tried to play ignorant. Now we both trying to figure out the boundaries. Started with words and moved to emojis. Those seductive videos you post, what's up with that? She sent a peach, I sent her back an eggplant. She told me that my post made her heart stop. Then she sends flames, followed by the water drops. I'm like, heart, I...